You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe.
Just believe. In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, talk about changing the world. This is Filippo Voltaggio, and today my world's going to change because this show is going to be completely different in the sense that the tables have been turned. I am going to be interviewed instead of being the interviewer. Now, though I have been interviewed a lot before, just never on our show, where for the past 4 years, every week I've been doing the interviewing. So I have to say that already feels very different to me. And so that's new. And that's life changing for me, I have to say. And then the other thing that's interesting is that we're going to be having a conversation about movies. Now, yesterday were the Academy Awards here in Los Angeles and all over the world, actually. I know, billions of people, well, maybe not billions, a billion people watched it or something like that. Millions and millions for sure. And so movies, which have been seen by billions of people for sure, and the Academy Awards and all of that, the fact that I'm talking on that and that some people have looked at me as an expert on this subject is rather interesting to me. And one of the things that I know I like to teach about in workshops is to stand in the place where you are and notice yourself, notice your world, and in my case, my world and myself. And one of the things, and my friends that know me really well would say, you're going to talk on movies? You don't even like movies. Well, the interesting thing is that I've been saying for the longest time, I don't really see a lot of movies and I don't really go to the movies a lot. And I kept saying that over the years, even though life had changed, but my speech, the way I thought about myself, and the way I thought of movies had not changed until I had to stand in the place where I was and say, oh, wow, this had changed. And what happened? Well, as I started to get more and more interested in our changing world, in different conversations that weren't necessarily had on television, I started looking for documentaries and movies that would share certain information. And I started watching them hours upon hours. Of course, I was also reading books. And of course, I was also listening to tapes at one time, and then CDs and eventually MP3s. And so what changed? I without realizing it, I was watching and taking in so much information over the years, especially in the form of movies. Though I never really thought of documentaries as movies. It's not like going to the movies. I was just renting a video. It's not like going to the movies. I was just renting a DVD. And at first it started at the DVD store, and then it started on the computer. And year after year, I watched more and more movies and documentaries on subject matters that I liked. And therein lies the rub, that I liked. Up until that time, maybe, just maybe, the movies that were being mass marketed weren't of appeal to me. And therefore, I just thought maybe I didn't like movies. And something interesting happened when I stopped to say, well, wait a minute, maybe I like movies. Because interestingly enough, the more movies I watch, the more documentaries I watch, and the more people that wanted to be interviewed by us and by me that had movies, I'd have to watch their movies or want to watch their movies. And so that conversation grew, and that experience of movies grew. And what ended up happening is I then started working with Lee Waterworth at YECRA and in his beautiful company, wherein it's all about movies. And here they were all these movies that people wanted us to watch and evaluate and help spread the word. And before doing that, I wanted to know what I was talking about. So I was watching more and more movies. And here I was watching movies, and then people were asking me if I could evaluate their movie, or if I could help them in the marketing of their movie, or if I could help them in editing their movie. And I have been asked to speak at a media conference, one of the largest in the nation, in Baltimore at the end of the summer. And when that letter came in saying that I was an expert in the field, I had to stop and look at my life and who I had become without noticing and say, well, wait a minute, there's something here. And I'll end with this. So I now, when I stopped and looked, I also looked at Hollywood and the films that it was putting out. And I said, well, my idea of myself was outdated. Maybe my idea of Hollywood was too. And so I started to look at the movies that were being mass marketed. And by gosh, by golly, there were movies there that were of interest to me. And I have since gone to the movies to watch them, and happily so. And here we are. My life has changed. And so I'm happy to be here as the interviewee, sharing with you all from my current level of expertise.
Wow. It is so great to be able to ask you some questions instead of hearing you ask others. So thank you for being a guest. I'm Dorothy Donahue, one of the producers of Life Changes. And I've been listening and watching and booking guests. And the way this show came about was I was looking at a list of potential guests, and I ran across this bio. And I said, this is a guy we should have on the show. And it turned out to be Filippo Voltaggio. And it was about his top 10 independent film list of 2013, films that could change the world. And people talk about changing the world. And this list was really amazing. And I've seen most of the films on the list. And so thank you for being here and being willing to talk about it.
Happily. Thank you for having me.
And this is Mark Lejeure. I'm co-host of Life Changes, and I've been working with Filippo and Dorothy since the inception of the show. And I believe we're going to cut to a short break where we can come back and begin our dialogue about the Oscars, about film, about films that change the world, and anything else that Filippo can share with us. We'll be back after these messages. This is Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And we're back. This is Life Changes with Filippo, and I'm Mark Majeur, and we're with Dorothy Donahue, and Filippo Voltaggio is our guest today.
So, Filippo, tell us about these 10 films, and they were really exciting films. I saw Film and met the producer, and I was very, very impressed with the balance of this film, and I really believe they shot themselves in the foot by calling it Femme because people think it's a feminist movie, and it was really a balanced movie.
So Femme made it to our, not only on our list, but number one because it was so well balanced, and it actually was a shocker. The name made me think that it was a little bit more of a feminist type movie. There's more I could say on that, but the important part to me is that I did end up watching the film and I ended up liking it. I learned a lot from it and I appreciated the women, that were speaking and what they had to say. And I felt included actually as a male and as somebody who agreed with what was being said and wanted to see so much of what was happening in the film, happen out in the world. So that's why it made it to number one.
Well, it was a great film, and it was what I have envisioned for our world, and that is a balance between the masculine and the feminine. And so many of the movies that go into that subject, it is like we must get rid of the masculine and replace it with the feminine. So it was a good film. I so enjoyed your interview on the red carpet with Sharon Stone. Can you share that moment with us?
Well, there's so much I could say, and the reason Sharon Stone is because she was one of the producers on the film Femme, and also because she was also one of the protagonists or one of the women in the film speaking. And I really enjoyed what she had to say in the film. So much so that when the opportunity came up to film, to interview her on the red carpet, I jumped at the chance. And what's wonderful for me is to see a woman who's been known for her sexuality and who's been known for making films that are very popular, and in some ways can be considered negative or putting out. Not negative. How should I say? Not necessarily inspiring. Not her in particular, but the subject matters. To see her talk about and portray a very strong woman who's confident and knows what she wants for herself and the world and the future, and what she said on the red carpet as far as advancing this kind of thought was, in my mind, I'm so glad to have her say it. Me being there on the red carpet and not asking her who she's wearing or what shoes she has on or, you know, what her latest project is, although that might be important, getting to go straight to the subject that was inherent in the film and getting to put out that kind of a message, to me, it felt like that was my job to be there. That was my job. Then personally, I just loved being there to Sharon Stone, and I get to look at her, and she looked at me, and I felt like we had a moment, and I'm human. And so was she, and it was fun.
That's what I was going to ask. How did she receive the interview? Because so many of the interviews and discussions, even for a film like that, go right to the place that you talked about, what they're wearing, you know, who the sponsors are, things of that nature.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I don't think either one of us expected that moment. And it's interesting that you should ask me about that moment, because what actually happened is, I mean, I was a tad bit nervous. It was Sharon Stone, and I don't know if she's the biggest star that I've ever interviewed, but she's certainly one of the most famous and one of the most loved. And so I stood there and I looked into her eyes and she looked in my eyes and we kind of had a moment like, this is cool. Like, I enjoy this. And so then I remembered that I was there to do a job. So I went straight to the job and I think I came on too strong and she remembers it. She had to answer and it wasn't one of those easy questions like, who are you wearing? So she had to think for a minute and we both chuckled and she said, can we start this over again? And so it was an interesting thing, to have happen. And I love the fact that it did because we were both human together in that moment, even though we're both professionals and we could have both done that better. But it was a bit of life.
It was a great moment. I was there and I saw it, and Sharon Stone was really surprised. He took her by surprise by asking an intelligent question. And it was a great moment. It was such a good moment. I was standing on the sidelines, and all of the other women that were there that had been in the film were going, can he interview me next? Can he interview me next? Because they wanted their moment in the spotlight too.
And they had so much to say. And that's the good news, is they all wanted to say important things. And they didn't want to come up and say, look who I'm wearing. It was about...
I'm sure it wasn't the hair.
My hair?
No, I was there. It wasn't the hair. But they did want to have a conversation with him, which is what I love about Life Changes. It's great conversations.
But I do have to say the hair does have something to do with it. I was performing last week and some lady came up to me thinking she was paying me the biggest compliment. And she said, I heard you sing a song at an event. I don't remember if she said Connecticut or New York. And I said, you did. And she said, and I've done many events there, so could very well have been me. And she said, you know how I recognized you? And as soon as she said that, I said, my voice, of course. And she said, no, your hair. And I knew that's where she was going. But anyway, but most people say I look like Kenny G. So, you know, what do you do? What do you do with that?
Maybe that's why Sharon thought you looked familiar.
Yes, maybe Sharon thought, well, wait, is he Kenny G or not? Why is Kenny G pretending to be Filippo?
No, that's not what Sharon thought. I was there. It was a great moment. So number two on your list was Spark. I didn't see it, and I want to see it, but I understand that it's all about Burning Man. And it's an interesting one, but the one that I really, really loved was Vitality. And why did it make number 10 on the list? Because it was such a great movie.
You know, actually, it's interesting because we're going to be talking about the Academy Awards here. And I sat down 1 year after the Academy Awards, not long ago, a couple years ago, with an Academy Award nominated director. And I said to him, it was 2 or 3 years ago that Steven Spielberg got up and he said, you are all winners, just before he announced the Best Picture. And I actually wrote a blog post about this and then was speaking to this director about it afterwards when we were having coffee. And I said, you know, he just said, basically, Steven Spielberg, that this award doesn't mean anything because he said you are all winners. And if you think about it, it's really subjective as to which one of these is actually the top winner. When if you look at it, the genres are so very different and the way it's filmed is so very different. How could you say this one film is the most representative of what we are capable of in this moment in time? And I said, it's a joke. And he said, it's not a joke. It's a game. And he said, that in this game, there has to be a winner, but everybody knows that we're all winners. Just the fact that you made it to the list. And that's why people say they are Oscar nominated. And in a sense, it's almost as important as winning the Oscar, because people use that, nominated for, and even they talked about it last night on the Oscars. So I bring that up because with the making of this list, so we are so used to hearing the top 10, and we are so used to the top 10 being number 10 being the least important of the 10 and number 1 being the most important of the 10. And that wasn't my intention at all. I actually wanted to make it the top 13 because there were 13 to about 15 films that I wanted on this list. But this list got a lot of attention. It was reposted over and over again, literally by over 1,000 people. Not as many as retweeted Ellen's selfie last night from the Academy Awards. But in any event, but everybody that I talked to in making this list, they said, we'll make it top 10. We're used to hearing top 10. And so I had to condense it to 10 in order to make it fit what we're kind of used to. And then because there are numbers, they have to be in some kind of order. So I think personally, number one being femme, of course, all the genres are different. They all touched me in a different way. I think femme was very strong in so many ways I liked it being in the number one slot. However, everything else, really, it's not really ranked. And we can look at that next year when we expand and we all make this list together, because I feel the pressure. So much so that directors, producers, and even a distributor wrote me when she heard that a Life Changes list was coming out and literally said, did any of my movies make your list? I sure hope so. And then listed the movies that should be included in case I had not been aware of them. Happily, one of her movies was on the list. So I'm sorry. So Vitality is not the least of the films. It was, I think, a very good film and one that I learned a lot from, and I'm glad it's there and we're bringing attention to it. And oh, by the way, anybody that wants to visit these films or watch them, you can go to our website, lifechangesnetwork.com. And if you click on watch trailer, you can watch any of them. Also, you can go to yakra.com and you'll find those films and many more there as well. And you can watch them there.
Right. I highly recommend Vitality. It's a wonderful presentation of what health really is. It's an important film for anyone who'd like to be healthier. And it was just an amazing film. Another good film, what was your favorite of the rest of them? Do you have a favorite?
You know, I don't. I don't. I think I said a lot.
You have a second favorite? So, Filippo, you were saying you didn't have a favorite, but my question is maybe to look at them differently. Each of these films has a different cause or topic that it's bringing awareness to. Which would you look at? And Dorothy mentioned, obviously, Vitality and Health, and Spark speaks to its own community and a lot of the culture on Burning Man. Is there one that you would look at, or in terms of the importance of what the topic is addressing?
You know, I did something that I thought was kind of unique for this, Mark, as you know, and maybe this is partly what you're referring to. The actual name of the list is the top 10 independent films of 2013 that could change the world and why. And the "and why" was pretty much to address exactly that, because, for example, Vitality. What I wrote was, if Vitality was within our grasp and everybody knew how to achieve it, that's world-changing. Comedy Warriors is about comedians, or they are now comedians, but they were soldiers in the army, and one had his leg blown off and one had his face burned. I mean, so all of these tragedies that came upon them fighting for what they believed in, and they became comedians, and with the help of some other established comedians, they coached them through their comedy routine. So what they were doing was they were trying to make us and help us laugh at the hard stuff while we're watching them go through the hard stuff. I mean, somebody standing there, and actually I think one of the guys had both his legs blown off. Somebody standing there without their legs. That's you can't avoid that while you're sitting there looking at them. And so what I wrote about that in the "And Why This Could Change the World," if we could all laugh at the hard stuff, maybe there could be less hard stuff. In other words, we all go through things. And if we could find a way, not right away, but to look at it and see, okay, what's the lesson here? Or what can I do with what just befell upon me? And how can I help others? Because in helping others that maybe have the same situation, they can live a better life. So to me, that was very powerful and impactful. If we could all laugh at the hard stuff, maybe there could be less hard stuff. In other words, it doesn't seem as hard. Serial killers. If what we eat really dictates our health and weight, and knew and ate right for our bodies, that would change the world. The other shore. If we didn't let age or past failure stop us from continuing to live large and go after our dreams, that would change ourselves and the world. Occupy love. If there was no 1%, and no 99%, but 100% people of Earth living by the golden rule, that would change the world. Should I go on? I mean,
yes, please.
Well, I was going to ask, is wouldn't it stand true then that that's something that all these films, and more importantly, maybe all films have in common? I think we've been sold. Oh, I'm brought up to believe that entertainment is just entertainment.
Yes.
Just entertainment. And so there's all these genres of film, and then you get into, you know, some that have fared obviously very well, like the horror category and the slashers you know, certainly the modern big blockbuster picture or action and sex driven and all these aspects. But are we not looking at or paying enough attention to the relatability of the topics in these films that are just coming through the, you know, under the auspices of entertainment? And maybe people don't realize, and we'll probably be talking about it in the second half, but, you know, some of the movies that we saw, we were very affected by.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more, actually. If I had children today, or I do have children whose lives I'm in, that when we go see a film, or when they see a film, I ask them, what did they learn, or what did they get out of it? And to me, that is actually the most important part. The entertainment, being able to get a message through entertainment, I think, is one of the most powerful things that we can do, through music, through art, and so many people actually write scripts that are very true to their life story. People paint things, people tell jokes that is true to their stories. So to me, that's what art is, and therein lies the question, does art imitate life or does life imitate art? So it's very important to get a message, I think, out of everything we do, I think.
I agree. I would just like to finish up with this top 10 before we go into that conversation. Sirius was an important movie. And I'm glad it made the list.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad it made the list too. And I've gotten some slack from some people saying, "Do you believe what was in the film or not?" And interestingly enough, what I wrote about that is if aliens existed and everyone knew it and it wasn't a secret anymore. Now, the thing that I like is that we're having a conversation, and whether specifically how it's presented in this film is true or everything in it is true or if it's well, let's just leave it at that. Whatever it is, it's putting a conversation out there, as did Take Back Your Power. In Take Back Your Power, I wrote, what if conspiracies were true? Then the truth would be just truth. In other words, in this film, the filmmaker was trying to present what he felt was true. And interestingly enough, it wasn't even he just took up the charge when he saw so many people being affected by something that could potentially affect all of us. And can this affect change? I believe in some way this already has. And so, like I actually have told the filmmaker, that I was grateful that he made the film and that he shared the story of so many people, that it could be all of us, or maybe this or other films like this could help change how our world looks moving forward. Humano. If we realize we are all human and just maybe we all came from the same place. Well, interestingly enough, now that I read that after many months, it strikes me kind of funny because according to the film, the same place we all come from would be the stars. So, further subject matter to be discussed there. Yes, Mark?
Are you trying to say it's out there?
We were out there, and now here we are. Spark, if we all lived in communities supporting each other and our individual and collective creativity. And then finally, Femme, if girls ran the world. Now that's, of course, that's my way of using modern lingo. Who is it, Beyoncé's? Who run the world? Girls, which is not actually a correct statement. But I mean, it's not grammatically correct, but that's okay. If girls ran the world, or better yet, if women and men ruled the world in balance together.
That's going to ask why anybody needs to rule.
That's right.
Okay, better yet.
That's for a different show.
Yeah. But that's a very good question. Why? The reason I said Sirius was an important film is it opened up a conversation, the same thing Humano did, was open up a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so Take Back Your Power, it's something that I believe we all need to do. And in this case, it was really saying take back our power by looking at the power supply system and what we were going through. So they were great films. They really were. Is there truth in all of these films? Are they the truth? What I've learned through watching films and watching people and having conversations is that my truth might be only my truth and it might not be your truth, but there is some truth in all of these, and they started some great conversations. Thank you for making the list.
You're welcome. I'm glad I did.
And I'm sure we're going to have lots more in the next segment. This is Life Changes with Filippo, and Dorothy Donahue and myself, Mark Legere, have actually turned the tables and are interviewing the Life Changes with Filippo host, Filippo Voltaggio. This is the Life Changes with Filippo show on the BBS Radio Network, and we'll be back after these messages.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
And we're back. This is Mark Leger, and I'm here with Dorothy Donahue, and the tables have turned as we interview our Life Changes with Filippo host, Filippo Voltaggio. Dorothy?
I'm really happy to hear what you have to say about these films. I'm so proud of this list, and it was shared on Facebook time after time again, and it started so many good conversations for me with people about how we can change the world. What can we do? And I believe there are really some beautiful films here.
You know, actually, before you go on, I have to say, talk about Life Changes, but it was shared on Facebook, Twitter, Google, and a couple other social networking sites in the thousands. And so it was wonderful to see the numbers go up and all of these people having conversations and being able to track them through our website. And then we updated our website, and we lost all of that data, and all of the numbers went back down to zero. So I have to say that it took a moment of, you know, being able to accept the fact that all of that was lost, and we weren't able to connect back with the people that had, the thousands that had written and all of that. And I know that's not why we did it. However, it just, you know, going back to, we're human and we're learning to accept life changes or to effectuate change as we go along.
Well, sometimes you have to drop back down the mountain to get better footing before you climb the rest of the way.
I like that. Where was that comment when I could have used it when I first found out? And the question is, what I've been able to hear it then.
Exactly.
That's a very good question. What did Sharon Stone say when she found that the list that was number one on our list?
Oh, you know, actually, thanks for reminding me of that. That was interesting. That was interesting because years ago, Mark Leger, our producer, invited me to participate in my first red carpet, I think it was actually, for a film. And I had met Barnett Bain at an event maybe a few months prior, and there he was on the red carpet. Now, Barnett Bain is also an Oscar-nominated director for his film What Dreams May Come, right? And of course, he's made many others, and he's won awards for his TV shows and et cetera, his series, actually. So here he came down the red carpet, and though I'd talked to him before, I'd never interviewed him. So he came up to me, and I said to him, one of my first questions was, "It's so wonderful to see Hollywood here." Because it was one of these films. It wasn't one of these 10, but it was a documentary type film. And I said to him, "It's wonderful to see Hollywood here in a place that we wouldn't expect Hollywood, quote unquote, to take much interest in a documentary that is about energy," I think it was. In any event, he said, sarcastically, Hollywood? Where's Hollywood? Where? I didn't see them. Well, show them to me. In other words, he was the only one there. And he was. There were a couple others, but that was it. So for him, having gone to so many events where Hollywood is Hollywood and is what we know it to be, he was saying it's not really here yet. And it wasn't. It was interesting that Sharon Stone being a part of this film, Femme, when Emmanuel Etier, who is the director, saw the top 10 list and that Femme had made number one, he sent it to Sharon Stone. And then Sharon Stone responded to him, and then Emmanuel ended up sending me the email with his congratulations and thank you for it being on the list and number one, that Sharon Stone said, quote, congratulations, now that, with a capital T-H-A-T, is, now that means something. And I thought, Hollywood is here. Because as far as I'm concerned, Sharon Stone is Hollywood. And if Sharon Stone can speak like this and have this kind of interest and say that about a list like that, maybe someday the Academy Awards will have more films like this.
Well, and that also supports a lot of what we've talked about. It's nice to, it's obviously such a blessing to hear Sharon say that and give us that validation. But we've long felt, not only through the guests like Barnett and others that have been on, that there's a lot more of Hollywood that really wants to matter more, that really wants to be involved in projects that have more substance where they, not just through their character, but they personally have more association with the content.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm proud to say, and thanks to both of you as well, we're helping usher that in our way.
It's been a lot of fun and some great conversations. Dee Wallace is known for some horror movies, and yet she is a bright light and has written a book. I think it's called Bright Light, but she really is doing her very best to make a difference in the world. And Gary Goldstein was a pretty woman.
Right, pretty woman, sure, and many others.
We've had many from Hollywood.
Well, and speaking of serious and other movies, Dee Wallace was on E.T.
Yes.
So it all kind of comes around.
It all comes around.
For those of us that are from out there in the stars.
I love it. I love it.
So, Filippo, we didn't do a little bio on you at first because we usually do that when we have a guest. So I'd like to share a little bit about who our guest is tonight, if that's okay with you. You have really interviewed some famed celebrities and respected scientists. One of my favorite shows with some of the scientists who some people would say are way out there and have brought such enlightenment to us, doctors and everyday people who are changing their lives and who are writing important things and starting conversations. We've had people that are not famous, but they're doing something and they're living their passion. And I love that we give them an opportunity to talk about that. So you were awarded Barack Obama's President's Call to Service Award. And that was quite an honor. I remember when that happened, and I wanted to congratulate you on that. So you're writing a book, several books, right?
Well, once completed and should be published actually in the next couple months, and I'm going to hold the title. I've had a working title, but I've just come up with the title, and I'm holding it until everything's in place. But yes, it's very exciting. I didn't know we were going to talk about that, but and we're not because we can't, but we will.
You have a book, and so I'm telling our listeners to be on the lookout for this book. It's an amazing amazing story. And you're just a multi-talented being.
Not only be on the lookout, you might as well send Filippo many, many emails encouraging him to release that.
Thank you, Mark. You know, agreed, and thank you for saying that. And may this be an inspiration to all of us. It was said at least a couple times last night during the Academy Awards that our dreams matter, and to always have a dream and to believe in them. And the interesting thing is from the perspective that I have now of having you just said what you said, Dorothy, and me reflecting on the fact that even in this show alone, just the Life Changes with Filippo radio show portion of it, not to mention the red carpet interviews and not to mention the live on camera interviews and the interviews on other people's shows that I've co-hosted, and, you know, not to mention any of that, but just on our show alone, we've interviewed over 255 people, and many of them experts, like you said, most of them actually in some field. And we've had some very good conversations and made some wonderful connections to the point where it almost feels like all these people are family. And I know most of them, if not all of them, feel close to us because of the way we relate, all of us, from the way, Dorothy, you connect with them in booking them and all of that, and then the interview and all that stuff. And I say all of this because now 4 or 5 years later, and so many interviews in the can, and all of these people that I've met and we've met, and again, people are calling on me as an expert interviewer. And people are posting this, and people are asking if I would come interview this person or be a writer for this magazine or that magazine. And I haven't done too much of it because there's just been so much foundation to lay for everything else that we're doing. However, I want to say this in all of that I can say now that you just keep doing what you do, even though there were times when I didn't think I knew what I was doing, through the encouragement of so many people, especially Dorothy, you, and Mark, of course, as well. But so many guests and all that kept saying, wow, you're really good at this, or we liked being interviewed by you, whatever it was, we love you. That here we are, and now I look back and say, wow, This is good. I like this, and I'm here, and what else can we do with it? But I wouldn't be here if we hadn't forged through.
Well, forging through, and you certainly mentioned Dorothy as that champion, and I as well, as we have all been to each other, but certainly Dorothy's been the glue there at various times. When we would question either the approach or the timing or other things that we were doing. But it's interesting because it seems like obviously the world's waking up. So much is happening, and there's more and more evidence that people want something more. Mm. And we're going to be focusing on in the second half of the show, the Oscars, the Academy Awards, and the films and kind of the whole genre from a positive perspective. But I think it is fair to mention that you know, as I go back and I look at the highlights and I look at what the news sources call news or want to recount, and there's only so many times I can see Jennifer Lawrence, you know, stumble and that be replayed as a means of getting people's attention. Mm. When some of these people have put their lives into these roles, not some, everyone, all of the grips, all of the backstage, all of the production, all of the talent, and bring that all together to be recognized in a positive light. And yet, you know, we focus, we meaning, you know, society, the media, et cetera, in order to get views and clicks and whatnot, tend to nitpick on either the dress or the shoes or the stumble. rather than enough of nitpicking for the various positives and being that detailed as to what good has come out of the roles, the style of acting, the impact that they had on the people within the film, and as well as the you know, people that have watched it. And I think maybe that's some of what we'll be able to focus on more in the second half of the show.
I know it is, and I'm very excited about that.
I am too, and I look forward to that. Let me add this before we go to commercial real quick, that I remember I didn't used to watch a lot of TV, and I just changed my way of speaking on that, is because I think television is a great medium, and I think it has potential to help a lot of people, and it already does. There are some great programs out there. And I'd like to encourage those programs and see more of them like them and like ours. But I remember seeing a TV show that was very popular at one point, and we were following with cameras and all this crew, a famous celebrity shopping. And we watched her walk out with all these bags and then walk into another Beverly Hills store and I'll have one of those and one of those, she would say, and walk out with even more bags. And we watched that for an hour. And that was cool and that was fun, I guess, for some at some point. And all I kept thinking is she'll probably never wear that. And that was probably just for a commercial, for an ad for that. And that, what a waste of money that was. And why is this important to anybody? And why are we showing teenagers? Because now so many kids are going to want to go to Beverly Hills and shop, and what kind of a society are we going to have? Not that certain things aren't important, but to that extent, I just felt it was, maybe even ugly. And what I feel I'm seeing more of is more shows that are focusing on people doing for others, and at least more people talking about what they do for others. More of our celebrities, they've always done, they've always had a foundation that they'd like to give to and all that stuff. But the way that they're doing it now, they are so much more involved and giving up their time as well. So it's not just for publicity. Like they really, a lot of them get that they have a lot of time on their hands and that they have a lot of money and that they've been given a lot and they can give as well. And I'm noticing a lot more of that. And so I'd like to encourage and bring that to light as well. So the Academy Awards, you're right. What was focused on? What wasn't focused on, for example, is Ellen gave in the gift bag, I think $6,000 to $8,000 worth of, for each gift bag of, would give money to the charity of the celebrity's choice. It was for animals, which is needed as well. But she would give $8,000, $6,000, or $8,000 to what all the celebrity has to do, from my understanding, is say, I want that money to go to this particular animal charity. And Ellen would give that money away. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of celebrities that got gift bags. That was very hardly talked about.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. And that's so powerful. It's a redefinition of swag. And to your point, right, where, you know, making shopping cool was the goal of those original shows. And I think it's easily just as effective to make doing good for others and having fun doing it and showing the reward of that process, that can be just as cool and just as sexy.
Yay.
Cool.
Agreed.
So we are going to take a short message break. Again, this is Life Changes with Filippo. This is Mark Lejeure, and I'm here with Dorothy Donahue. We've been turning the tables and interviewing our show host, Filippo Voltaggio, on his Life Changes Network Top 10 list of films that change the world. We are going to take yet another twist in the plot line tonight for the second half of the show and cover the Academy Awards. We're going to have a special guest joining us in the studio, which is actress, Canadian actress, model, and stand-up comic, Erica Cox, who will be with us. And again, we'll be talking about the Academy Awards, the films that were nominated, as well as the genre of film and its impact on our life changes. This is Life Changes with Filippo, and we'll be back after these messages. We're on the BBS Radio Network.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And we're back. This is Mark Legere, and we're in the second hour of our special Academy Awards show where we've turned the tables, and you've been listening to Dorothy Lee Donahue, our executive producer, and myself have an interview discussion with Filippo Voltaggio on life-changing films, the Life Changes Network, and the changes going on in our lives. We have Erica Cox joining us in the show for the second half, and we're going to be talking about the Academy Awards and enjoying some gluten-free cookies while we're...
I'm so excited about this part of the show. I enjoyed the first part. However, I have been watching movies ever since I can remember, and they have helped me so much understand humanity. They've also just given me so many questions about, oh my God, how could they have done this or done that? And I was so excited about the movies this year. 7 out of 9 were based on true stories. And how much truth was in them is up for debate, but it was very, very interesting to see these movies. It was a foregone conclusion for everyone in Hollywood that 12 Years a Slave would be the number one picture. And I find it extremely interesting that it was the least watched movie of all of them because it was so hard to watch. But I was so impressed with the young woman, Lupita, who won for Best Supporting Actress. She was just amazing in her grace and her beauty and sharing with the audience what she got from participating in the movie. It was really one of the highlights of the Oscars for me.
In your opinion, you know, mentioning 12 Years a Slave, what do you think set it apart from other slave movies or other movies dealing with that topic this year?
There have been a lot of movies. This was the most brutal, and I think that's why it was the hardest to watch. And it was forcing people to look at the slavery issue. But you know, Mark,
maybe the most honest then in that case.
It might have been the most honest in that case. However, it's my personal opinion that if we want to bring a positive message to the world, if we want to make change, we can't do it by beating people over the head with the brutality of the past. I believe that we could get a lot more accomplished by showing a new way to do things.
Well, continues to bring up the anger, right?
That's right.
You see that, you're hurt that the people have gone through that, and some people want to react or continue to maintain that hurt. So I agree, and that's what Life Changes has been about, is really looking at what we can do even in a more positive way. Now, Filippo, what of the films that were nominated this year that you've seen, which ones moved you the most, or which ones stand out in your mind?
You know, actually, before I answer that, I do want to say about a history repeating itself, and I'm sure that a lot of people would say that we need to know what really happened and remember and not forget. In all kinds of different, well, not just in America, but in Europe and in so many ways, it's still going on right now. I read something today that said there are more slaves today that are children and women than were ever traded before in our civilization. I don't know if that's true or not, but even if the numbers were not as close as to what they say, it's still a lot of people. So I did not see that film because films are not as big as life, but in so many ways bigger than life. People talk louder in films than they do in real life. And it's stereo and it's pumped right into your ear. The people you're looking at are bigger than the people that you ever talk to in real life. And when you look at somebody's face or somebody's eyes, you don't see them as close as you do a real person. So anything that's happening to a person, though it's on the screen, I wonder if it's like what they say about kids that are watching or playing video games, in that the mind at some point, the unconscious, doesn't know the difference between reality and not. And so what I noticed, and one of the reasons why I wasn't always a huge fan of films, is because the films that were being brought to my attention were about brutality and blood and gore and people hurting on each other and all of that. And so I, being empathic, and I being one who doesn't live in a world where I like to hurt people or like to be hurt by people or to see people hurt, would get a major overdose, bigger than life, of that in watching a film. So with that particular film, I understand that there are people that still are suffering and that still feel that there was an injustice that either has not been repaid or that needs to be remembered so that history doesn't repeat itself. I wonder if there is another way to do it, and I trust that as we move forward that we will find it. And our way here at Life Changes is to focus on as much of the positive as we can, because I know that collectively we believe that what we focus on expands. So my focus was on the films that, even though I was interested and I wanted to see it, if I see 12 Years a Slave, I'd rather see it on a small screen where it's smaller than life, and where I can at least get the message that they're trying to get without being bombarded with the brutality that affects me personally. What I did want to see bigger than life was Gravity. I wanted to float. I wanted to see what it was like floating in space. And I think the way a film like that was made, where especially those of us that got to see it in IMAX, we could sit there and almost be in space in 3D and with the sound and all of that, just kind of, it was like one of those motion sickness rides. What do they call those? Those, I call them motion simulation rides. So that was a ride. So I watched many of them. So that is, for example, that one. And
Erica, you saw Gravity. What were your thoughts on it?
It was unbelievably realistic. You felt like you were with them for the entire journey, and especially with Sandra. She was the main person in the whole thing. And I thought it was amazing that it could capture your attention for that entire time. The script was really well written, the special effects and how they made it just so real for you to be there.
I thought one of the most interesting things said at the Academy Awards last night was Kate Blanchett, when she said, "And Sandra, I could watch your performance forever, and I feel like I have." So it was a compliment to say. I went, "What?" But I've heard different things from different people. Some thought it was absolutely amazing, and some said, "Oh my God, I didn't think it would ever be over." It's one of the ones I didn't see, and I might see it.
And you know, the interesting thing that I noticed in all the films that I saw, one of the things that they had in common were, I saw the ones that were based on true stories, and all of them, they had something that the old films used to have. And so I don't know if this is a trend, or if these are films that people are really trying to say, because there are films that were not nominated, like all the, you know, the slasher films, and there were so many films that came out last year that the Academy doesn't look at for the Academy Awards. It's just a certain number of genres of films, and they have to have certain characteristics. So these particular films that I watched all had lengthy shots. In the old films, they used to keep a camera on somebody for a really long time. Now, this is what I noticed. In Her, the camera was on. Now, that might not have been based on a real story, is it? No. Okay, so I watched that. I saw that too. But it's real life in so many ways.
Artificial story.
Yeah.
No, but it's based on real life in so many ways. You brought it up to me that in Japan, more people are actually having that kind of relationship.
Men. Yeah.
Than real relationships.
True. They don't call it operating systems. I think they call it video game.
Yeah. For those that haven't seen the relationship is with a digital voice like Siri on your iPhone.
Right.
Right. And so the takes were really long in Her and Philomena and, of course, Gravity. And also, and for the most part, it was carried by one person. Sandra Bullock, right, carried all of Gravity. I think George Clooney was great and all that, but it was Sandra Bullock the whole time. And that requires great intensity and talent. And
I think if she would have landed that pod just off the island where Tom Hanks was playing with his volleyball friend, that would have made for.
What was that movie?
Castaway.
Oh yeah, if there had been a ball, a volleyball or right. A soccer ball, whatever it was.
That's the sequel.
The sequel.
Yeah, when she walks into the island.
All right. Okay, so really long takes. Oh gosh, you guys are so funny. Really long takes. Emotions, getting into emotions, and into the heart of humanity.
Speaking of emotions in the heart of humanity, Wolf of Wall Street. Now, here's a film that wouldn't end.
Couldn't even beat it down, huh?
For one that, and that's we're focusing on the positive.
That finally ended. Then we could say.
No, actually, I think it's still going. But this was, kidding aside, because this was really important, especially for me to see, because I have a Wall Street background. I'd actually met Jordan at a time in the past, and in the Wall Street background, I wasn't with a firm like Stratton Oakmont or one of those, but I've been around brokers from those types of firms. I was close to that actually when I first started with my Series 7 until I understood how the business worked and took a different career path and ended up with the larger firms. But all of them, there's certain cultural threads that mm-hmm. that resonate through that. What I thought was interesting about this film, despite the percentage of truth versus not, is that it was, even though Jordan's life was overdone, the 3 hours of the debauchery, the sex, the drugs, the greed, et cetera, was almost so overdone, and I'm not sure if this was by design, but it went from, everything in moderation, it de-glorified it. I think it came out so strong that I think the positive was that it was no longer like maybe the first 30 minutes. It's like, oh, I would like that yacht, I'd like that girlfriend, whatever the case may be. And I don't know. Did you see Wolf, Erica? What was your thought?
Yes, I did. It was very over the top. I mean, when the market closed and they brought in all the performers and the office went absolutely crazy, it did, as you said, sort of take it to an extreme where I think as an audience, you're kind of questioning whether or not that kind of thing, I don't know, is very cool in business.
Yeah, no longer is funny, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's the way a lot of these films are, but it seems like we've crossed the line.
I have a question. I didn't see Wolf of Wall Street. Was there any message in the movie that the audience could walk away with other than saying, like you just said, Erica, it's too much. Who would want to do that? But was there a message?
You know, I struggled and still struggle. And that one, like I said, because of the various components of it that touched my background, it's maybe a little bit too close to home in some ways for me to have found the message. I think there's various messages, but at the end of it, it really starts to bring home the disconnect that we have in the financial world between reality and fantasy, and more importantly, the simple care and consideration for the investing public, the financial community versus we champion capitalism in this country and in the Western world, but we don't realize that how much capitalism comes without compassion or consideration for truth and for integrity. We write it off just by the fact that people have their own risk and can make their own decisions. Well, they understand they can lose their money, but yet if they're not working with all the facts, if they're doing the best they can to ascertain if somebody's telling them the truth and then trusting in them because they sound good, then that puts a really good salesman in a really good position. And I think that's the message that crosses over to not just finance, but so much of life that people are or can be easily sold, and maybe we need to step back and start looking at how we treat each other a little bit more.
Wonderful.
Wow.
That's great. Her had a really, it had so many great messages in it. It was a movie that took way too long to end, but it did have some great messages in it. And I was very, very impressed. Like I said earlier to you guys, that I don't want to be in a future where the men wear pants like that, but I do want to be in a future where people do learn that communicating with one another is the most important thing. That that's what we've come here for.
You know, it's interesting now that you say that, the operating system knew so much about him and was attentive to him, and she was available anytime he wanted her, in the middle of the day or night, and also she, until she started developing human characteristics or an old way of being, like some in some ways an old way of relating. I don't know that some of the characteristics that she started taking on as an operating system are necessarily our best human ways of being. But until she started doing that, she was like ideal. Like, who wouldn't want a person like that on the one hand? Like Mark was saying about the Wolf of Wall Street, who wouldn't want that life on the one hand? Until you really look, how can I say this? At one point, I started saying, wow, maybe the imperfections in each other is why we're here. Because,
you know, but I'll step in on it, because what came through while you were saying that is it wasn't the life. I don't begrudge people, as I've aspired and in some ways still do, success. It wasn't a problem having the yacht. I think if you would have seen, you know, disadvantaged youth being chartered on that yacht as some of, you know, the mandate, you know, I think we're allowed to have nice things, but it's what we do with them. And that's, you know, in that storyline, again, where truth starts and stops within a storyline, I don't know. But, you know, to be able to, you know, show more of a positive outcome from that type of a lifestyle, as opposed to just a self-serving type of perspective. And that's what we see in so many films. And the movie was very well directed. The acting was brilliant. Leonardo DiCaprio was phenomenal. I think a lot of the actors were really well done. So there were certainly positives in terms of the execution. But you know, the storyline and what it brings forward, hopefully there will be a lot of positives that are taken away because of the overdone nature of it.
I really appreciated the messages in her really well. I really did. There were so many beautiful things. And I thought his profession was extremely interesting. He wrote touching personal letters. So instead of me writing a letter to you, Mark, saying, this is how I feel about our relationship, this gentleman would write a letter for a man to his wife or a man to his mother. And I just found that extremely interesting. And so through writing the letters, he began to know the people that he was writing about, because sometimes he did it for 10 years. He knew more about them than the people that he was writing the letters for, knew about each other. And what I came away from the movies that I saw was how little we know about one another unless we are really asking the right questions. And what my question was about the Wolf of Wall Street was what was the motivation of that? Was it just pure greed? What was his motivation? Did he have any redeeming qualities? Because in the other good movie, American Hustle, what I discovered is there is no black and there is no white. It's all gray. There is no one who's all good or all bad. And so was there any message like that in Wolf of Wall Street?
Not the way the film was portrayed.
Okay.
However, I know that to be different, just having met him and no friends of his. And it's like any of us, you know, there is another side to the story, I'm sure. I'm sure there's many good things that he has done. The film did not portray that. And I don't know, I think it'd be hard pressed to find a whole lot of good in that character. And that's why I think that the fact that it was so overdone maybe worked as a positive, because it watered down the glorification of that and made it less cool than say, the character, you know, the Gordon Gekko character, which was so influential in sparking Wall Street in the, I think it was 80s, in that Wall Street movie. So, yeah, that would be my perspective.
I think that he was motivated by the people around him, seeing them happy. So maybe that was something that you can look at like a positive.
That's a good point. And loyalty. It, with his, within their group, within the culture that he had created, he was very loyal and treated very well the people within that, within his firm. And his,
so it wasn't people. All black and white. It wasn't all bad. And that's what I got from American Hustle. I was telling this friend of mine that I loved this movie, that it was a great movie. And she said, I walked out after 20 minutes. These were the most disgusting people ever. And I thought, wow, I'd like for you to go back and watch the movie and let's have a conversation about it. Because it was really extremely interesting. And there were politicians in it, and there were con men in it, and there were some very interesting women in it. But the underlying message was amazing about there is no black and white. And the politician, he was really wanting to work with the mafia because it was going to create jobs for the people who had voted for him. His heart was really about, I'm doing this for the people. And it was so clear to see that. But the FBI was after him, and if I were reading the story, I might have judged it as him not being a good guy because he was going to deal with the mafia. But it really was eye-opening.
Well, you bring up a very important point because I think that's one thing that we kind of culturally have been guided away from, and it's that ability to watch and learn from rather than judge the characters of any of these. Because at one point in time, to one extent or another, we've probably been in a relatable situation. Maybe not as extreme, maybe not as angry, maybe not as deceitful or whatever the situation may be, but, you know, it's that don't, you know, throw stones and you know, unless you're truly without sin or whatever the word would be. But I think it comes down to that fact. If you're looking at it from a perspective of how do I relate or where have I made decisions like that, maybe then there is a positive takeaway from whatever is going on.
Well, there was a lot of me in many of the movies, a lot of me in many of the movies that I saw of me in the past. Like, I left those parts of me behind, but I was able to relate. And I like what you said, because I have truly done my best to step out of the role of judge and become an observer.
So we were talking about
Nebraska.
And
hard to get a signal out in Nebraska.
Clever, clever.
It's the longest state to drive through.
Is it? It is.
It's all cornfields, yeah.
No wonder it took them so long. And that man was going to walk it all the way to the lottery thing. Well, that's just it. It was a long state, and it took them a long time. And I'm not going to say whether they got there or not, because I know not everybody has seen the movie. But I will say that I started to say that I think everybody that sees anything, whether it's in real life or a movie or on television, they're going to focus on what they're going to focus on based on their past or their experiences or what they're looking for. And so that's why I find the experience of going to movies with people more interesting afterwards when we get to talk about them, because we see different things about each other and about the movie that we may not have seen ourselves or known about the other person. And the people that just like to go to the movie, just to sit there and go to the movie, and then they don't want to talk about it, that frustrates the heck out of me. You know, we go eat afterwards so we could talk is how I see it.
And this is, you know, the interesting thing about movies and life in general is that we all are looking through our own perception, and our perception is based on our own beliefs.
Right.
And somebody that grew up in, you know, South or Texas
or Nebraska
right. will have a very different view on, say, slavery or Wall Street or any other of these major topics
right.
than somebody in other parts of the country or world.
And
yet we're not forgiving of those different belief systems oftentimes.
Yes. Oftentimes.
Not only judging the movie, but judging the person that we're talking to about watching. Now, how can you believe that, or how can you like that, or how can you not understanding that
right.
they have that base of knowledge and programming to work from?
Well, Nebraska was very, very personal for me because it reminded me of how lucky I was to have escaped from Texas, or I would have ended up being one of those people. And but to me, it was a movie about relationships and how few people truly relate, because it was a father and his son who took this journey. And they didn't know anything about one another until they took forever to get to Nebraska.
Dorothy, we're going to cut back for a couple of minutes for another message break, and then why don't we bring you back in to talk about that. We'll be right back. This is Mark Lejeune. We're in the studio with Dorothy Lee Donahue and our guest, Erica Cox, and we're having a discussion with Filippo Voltaggio about the Academy Awards. This is the second half of Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network. We'll be back after these messages.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And we're back. And we're talking about the movies. Nebraska was a personal movie for me because it reminded me so much about my life in Texas. And they actually used some of my lines in the movie about you drank because that was all there was to do. And it reminded me of the family that I had back in Texas, my ex-husband's family. And it just reminded me of so many things. But after I got over all of that, I was really quite taken in. It was a beautiful story, and it was a story of a father and a son who got to know each other. And I trust that it will inspire people to get to know the people they love, because what I have discovered in a lot of these movies is people don't really know the people that they love. Filippo,
what? I don't know the people that I love. Oh, I was there. I saw Nebraska. Well, no, as I was saying before, so everybody has not only a different experience of a film or of anything, but during the time of their life when they're watching a particular film, they will have a different experience of it. So I've seen films of that have reminded me of my relationship with my father, and they've had me cry. They've gotten me to cry, or I've allowed myself to go there. And here was one where I didn't go there at all. Maybe because I had healed my relationship with my father. Maybe because I had come to understand the perfection of my relationship with my father. So had I watched this maybe 5 years ago, I might have been bawling my eyes out and saying, oh, this was about me and my father. Well, looking at it now, I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people?
Good point. I like that.
Well, and that's very, that brings it right back to what Dorothy was saying. You know, when we were talking about 12 Years a Slave and other topics. And again, yeah, I understand it's such an emotionally charged, and I'm sure I can't even imagine how emotionally charged the topic has been, can be, continues to be in various circles. But the more that we can step away from our current perspective and look back on it and more importantly, focus on the positives, focus forward.
Focus on healing. Talk about healing. We saw another film, Philomena, and that was an interesting film. And it was based on a true story. And from what I gather, it was probably had more truth in it than any of them, except the Dallas Buyers Club, which seemed to be very, very truthful too. And both of them were good films and had great messages. Philomena was about a woman who was forced to give up her child in a nunnery. And it was absolutely 50 years of heartache for her as she wanted to track down her son. So, to really watch this movie, as a mother, it was very interesting. I was trying to put myself in her place, and her son was taken away from her and was sold. And that's what the nunneries did in Ireland at the time. They would sell the children to wealthy Americans. And what I think is great is that this movie, the Pope actually asked for a copy of it, and the Pope met with the mother and said he's looking into this. So it was a life-changing movie. And I'm sure that it is going to help a lot of people understand that there are a lot of injustices in life, not just slavery, but a lot of injustices, because these women who had their children just ripped out of their arms suffered tremendously.
Well, they were enslaved as well.
What
we do to each other is just amazing to me, and we you're nodding. Everybody's nodding. It's like, yeah, think about it. And I think the worst part is when we actually have an opportunity to make each other's life better on a one-on-one situation, and yet we go to our go-tos or our own personal histories or to where how we were treated, and so we treat each other in similar ways.
When you're saying we, you're talking about humanity.
Yeah, well,
we, right?
No, right. No, I don't mean humanity as a whole. I mean like two people that are supposedly in love or two people that are supposedly friends. And Erica's nodding, and I'm just wondering what's coming to mind.
Well, I just see people walking around on the street a lot, and just their heads are down, and they're really not willing to connect with anybody else as they're on their journey in their day. And I think that one of the most powerful things that you can do is to really like look people in the eye and smile at them, and you know, just send a lot of love out when you're going throughout your day. I think it makes a lot of difference.
One of the things that I enjoy so much in life is going out with Felipe, and he speaks to everyone and makes their day. Them laugh. It's really a joyous thing, and it's made me better by trying to make people laugh or make people smile at least.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day because it happened recently. We went into a movie together, and I don't know what comes over me, but I just have to try and change somebody's day. And I'd like to think that it's because I want to make somebody smile and change their day. But I actually think it might come from, I grew up with my uncle who used to talk to everybody, and his English was broken. He had broken English, rather. And he also, his humor was broken. And so he would talk to everybody and anybody, and they wouldn't understand him. and he would be joking, and it would be the most uncomfortable situation for me. And I think what I'm actually doing is trying to set the world, you know, the record straight or something. It's like I'm trying to fix all of the people that my uncle did that to. Is like my way of going out and doing it right for him. It's like, this one's for my uncle. So I walked up to the lady that was tearing the tickets, and she was just looking down and tearing the tickets and wasn't even looking up at the people. And I said to her, I think I need glasses for this movie. And she looked up at me, the first person she had looked up at, and she said, no, this is not a 3D movie, sir. And I said, oh, but I think it is. And she laughed. She's like, no, I'm sure it's not. And I insisted, and I said something else. And so she said, okay. So now she's laughing, and she says, if it is, you come back and tell me. I'll promise I'll give you some glasses. So, of course, I left. And 2 hours later, she was still there. And as I walked out, I said, you were right. And she started to laugh again because, of course, she was right. And I knew she was right. And though it might have made the movie more interesting had I been wearing glasses. I don't know. But that was for my uncle, I think.
I was very, very happy to see Matthew McConaughey win last night. I saw the Dallas Buyers Club. This was a very important story. Very important story. And so much could be learned from it. And so many people died because of the AZT. And I lost several family members to AZT. Now, you notice I didn't say I lost them to AIDS. I lost them to what was the cure, which was AZT, which actually is what ended up killing them. And it was a really, really great movie. So I had a friend who saw this movie, and he said it put him in a downward spiral. He saw it 2 weeks ago, and I said, are you still spiraling down? And he said, yes. He said, I can't believe that I had to watch that movie. And he happens to have HIV. And I said, could you talk to me about this for a minute? Could you find one redeeming quality about this movie? And he said, what do you mean? And so I mentioned several of them, such as there was the guy who was told, you have 30 days to live. And he went on to not only live for 7 years, but he smuggled drugs in for other people to live, and he fought, and he spent his money to change the way the FDA deals with drugs that are okayed in other countries and not here. And so it was a very inspiring story in showing how one person can make a difference. And he said, wow, yeah, let me think about this. And so that's what movies do for me. They make me think. And I love to talk to people about movies. And they help me understand me. I learned more about me in watching these movies than I have in a long, long time. And I'm so grateful for what the Academy chose for us to take a look at.
I think that's the takeaway, is that everyone can get something positive and valuable out of any movie if they're willing to look at it from that perspective, and that perspective being in a willingness to look at themselves and how they would relate in that type of a situation, how they would treat people, how it could be done differently, better, etc. And I don't think we do that enough, because people are so firm in their belief systems oftentimes, until things get challenging enough that they're forced to change. And I think, you know, we've all had our, you know, parts of our journey that have kind of forced us to change. And
thank God.
And that's why we're here. I think life changes is more about life after change than it is the change itself. Because once you get to that place and you're willing to look in the mirror and say, what did I do to contribute to that situation, as opposed to being a victim? And I think that's part of the aspect of watching these films, looking at it that way.
What I learned from a lot of these, or remembered, or what it reinforced for me, is that the only person I can change is me. And once I change me, then things around me will change. And so this beautiful man, this beautiful man in Dallas Buyers Club, Ron Woodward, who went out and changed a lot of lives. He was homophobic at the very beginning. And he risked his life and risked incarceration to bring in drugs to the AIDS community. It changed him completely, completely, and his outlook. And so he was a great gift to us and to the world. And I encourage our listeners to go and watch some of these movies and see how many gifts you can find in them, how much you can learn about yourself and remember and learn about whether you are a remember, whether you are relating or reacting.
You know, at the same time, there are films that bombard us, like I said, in bigger than life, with so much violence and so much atrocity, so many atrocities, or with things that are not of this world, like big mechanical monsters or things of that nature, or just war and devastation and all of that. So I think some of them have a premise that there's a message, like the redeeming warrior or something like that, yeah. The hero or something. And I just wonder sometimes if that end has been justified by the means that we put so many people through in hours and hours of just destructive. And it's not just what they're watching, but what they're listening to. And so I share with my friends who want me to go see this superhero or that one. And these superheroes don't just fly around anymore and put spiders on a wall and hit somebody or drop something on them. They're exploding cities. And underlying in that explosion is the killing of so many people and the devastating of so many towns and all of that, that it doesn't justify this hero reigning. And so one might think, well, there are bad things in the world. And yet if there are bad things in the world, then there are enough bad things in the world that I don't have to sit in a movie theater and be bombarded in bigger than life for 2 hours of even worser things that are in the world. Worser. Look it up in the dictionary.
Irregardless.
I agree.
What?
With you.
I said irregardless.
Of whether it's in the dictionary or not.
Urban dictionary.
No, but that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I choose to be very careful about what I watch and what I listen to, what I think, what I say, what I do, because I know that that's how we create our reality. And so go see the good movies. Go see the movies with a message. And think before you just walk into a theater. And I can't imagine being in that, in gravity, in the IMAX, in floating space. I just cannot imagine doing that. But I told someone I wanted to watch it on a small screen because then I would feel better instead of getting the motion sickness that you were talking about. And she said, it was so funny to me, she said, well, you can't hear the music and you can't see it on a small screen. I thought, wow, her perception is very interesting because I know that I can hear if it's on a small screen and I can also probably get what I needed to know.
How small is the screen going to be?
Not that small. But, you know, maybe on the big TV when it comes out.
Yeah, I think that would be adequate.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, there's so much now in terms of how these films are produced and what they're trying, what type of experience they're trying to generate. But it was interesting, we were talking just the other day, back, you know, I spent a lot of my career in technology and due to some military technology I had seen in the late 90s, I was kind of evangelizing that we would one day be watching television on our cell phones. And people literally laughed at me at meetings that we would never do that. And yet now,
and now you're laughing.
Now I'm laughing, and everybody else is watching television while they're driving or walking down the street or wherever else, which maybe isn't good. But the point being is, you know, I think that's the back to what we were saying in terms of programming and how people's belief systems affect how they think. Everything's subject to change, and these movies are important. For that reason, because it does. It affects people at the moment they watch it. It becomes part of their belief system going forward. And not only seeing the positive films and not just positive in terms of happy, but positive in terms of something that there's a takeaway that can cause you to reevaluate your life and how you relate and you know, move forward in hopefully a more valuable manner with the people around you.
There's some interesting movies coming up, and I was so interested in the trailers for some. And one is Heaven is for Real, and it's based on a true story, again, of a young boy who started telling mom and dad that he was a fighter pilot in World War II. And it's been all over the news, and now they're making the movie. So that'll be exciting to see what messages we can get there. Because I know that I have been here before, here on Earth, and I've had another life, many lives. And then I've shared many of my lifetimes with people in this room. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Actually, a movie that, if I don't watch it tonight, I'll probably be watching tomorrow, actually. I mentioned Yakra, but there's The Armstrong Lie, and that's available through Yakra right now. It's a Sony film called The Armstrong Lie. And the reason I'm interested in this film is, a few months ago, well, maybe a year ago now, I went to an event, and Jim Carrey was the main speaker. And he got up, and it was soon after the whole Armstrong thing hit the fan. And Jim Carrey said, I got to be honest with you, I'm struggling with this. He said, where are the heroes? And you believe in somebody and you root for somebody and then he lets you down too. And so he said, so who do you look up to? And he took the opportunity to being on stage, of just sharing his current life moment of being in total disbelief of what had happened in the news and all of that. And so we got to see a real life Jim Carrey. And the interesting thing to me is that this film was being filmed about Lance Armstrong. And then in the process of filming, the situation happened, or the story broke. And so they stopped making the film, and they just junked it or stopped making it, whatever. And then I guess somebody came up with the idea of, well, let's then, instead of talking about him as a hero, let's talk about him as a liar. Now, I don't know his story. I don't know if he did something wrong or not. I don't know if he really did what they say he did. I don't know. But I'm curious to see how they're projecting this. And so there again, yet another film that I think could potentially be life-changing, because like Mark, you said earlier in the show tonight, so many of us have been faced with certain circumstances that maybe not to the extent that some of these people in the films that have been portrayed lately have experienced. But certainly we are faced with moments of, do we be truthful or do we lie? Do we, you know, take something that doesn't belong to us? Do we, you know what I'm saying? And so it's just at this level, he may have chosen to do what he might have actually done.
Well, and you know, there's so much at stake, and you wonder, you know, at what point in time does somebody come clean?
Well, he did come clean. He did admit it.
At what point in time do they make that decision to come clean? It was so much more damage, it seems, that happened because it took so much longer, and it was so obvious to so many people. But yet, on the flip side, he was feeling like he was protecting a lot of his you know, the good that he's done.
Yeah.
And trying to protect his charity and yes. other things that had been built as a
right.
result of him and his brand, which has done so much good,
right.
so much power.
Right.
And so, right, like Dorothy was saying about American Hustle and like a film we didn't get to talk about that, but we did see Captain Phillips.
Oh, yes.
And unfortunately we've run out of time, but in that film, the Somalians may have felt justified in doing what they were doing, and it may have been for survival. And so in the similar way, Armstrong might have thought, well, if somebody else wins, they're not going to bring as much money to charity. They're not going to help as many children or as many people. They don't have foundations. They just, it's their personal win. They keep the money. And he might have felt justified in doing what he did. I don't know. But what I like about the fact that I have found a new medium that I'm excited about, that I've actually been a part of and been enjoying and learning from for a long time and just didn't know it. So like I was saying, I'm excited about this medium of film and my rediscovery of it and how I feel about it and what I'm learning from it and what I feel like I'm bringing to it and we're bringing to it by a show like what we just did today. And I trust, and Dorothy, thank you for leading us into this place where we've made a show about the Oscars in the way that we know how at the moment, but may this conversation become more and more relevant and more of interest to the masses. I thank you both. May I say, you both did a phenomenal job as hosts, and I want to thank Erica for joining us, Erica Cox. So much enjoyed your input. I am Filippo Voltaggio saying, as your life changes as mine did today, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ionways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.